From Bates Nursery and Garden Center, just north of Briley Parkway on Whites Creek Pike, and worth the drive from anywhere. It's the At Home Show, answering your questions about your home, your garden, and your projects. Now for two gentlemen best known for pioneering the concept of social distancing. Josh Carey and David Bates.
Everybody knows what that intro means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard. You got to find a project. You got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. It's time. It's the Saturday morning tradition. It's the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates. And just an explanation. Some of you will hear some music. Some of you won't hear some music during the intro, during the introduction there. So I don't know who's got the mic up.
I think that was you, Josh.
Okay. But some of you will hear some music. Some of you won't, because we don't really have it in the budget to pay them. You know, the licensing
fees. We're probably going to have to do some workarounds with regard to that, and maybe have to change some long-standing
traditions. I'm on it.
Okay.
Some long-standing things, but...
things happen. Yeah. It's going to be a glorious day, David.
It actually is. It's already a glorious day. We've got sunshine today. Currently, it's 65 degrees here in the Music City, and we're going to have, for those of you who are out and about early, some patchy fog about here and there, so watch out for that. Slight chance of showers between noon and 1 p.m. That's getting pretty definitive about it. I'm not sure that
11:37.
Yes. Okay. Then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1. So let's get that right. There's a slight chance of showers between noon and 1. Then after 1 p.m., there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms.
Oh, it's good to know where we stand.
Yes. If it happens before 1 o'clock, it's just showers. If it's after 1, it'll be showers and thunderstorms. So make sure we got that right. Partly sunny, high near 87 degrees, southwesterly winds about 5 miles an hour. There is only a 20% chance of shower, so that means there's an 80% chance that there will not be measurable precipitation where you are today. Tonight, a 10% chance of showers after 5 a.m., which is actually tomorrow. Partly cloudy with a low of about 69. Winds will be out of the south at 5 miles an hour and becoming calm. In the evening on Sunday, 50% chance of showers, mainly after 7 a.m., partly sunny, high near 88 degrees, calm winds, turning around out of the south-southwest at about 5 miles an hour later in the morning. Sunday night, 20% chance of showers before 1 a.m., partly cloudy, low of about 70. South-southeast winds, 5 miles an hour, and Memorial Day, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 1 p.m. Partly sunny, high near 89 degrees. Josh, before you jump in there, let me quickly look at the week ahead.
All right.
Just look at that. There it is. You've got a chance of rain every day. You've also got a chance of sunshine every day. And there's no amounts of precipitation that are really very much, which we're grateful for. Unfortunately, there's folks around the country who have gotten some severe, if you live in the Carolinas or in coastal Virginia or
Michigan,
they've all gotten some severe flooding conditions, and we're certainly understand what that one's all about. It is it's very difficult to endure those kinds of things. So again, currently here in the Music City, it is 65 degrees.
Yes, Saturday morning, it's time for the At Home Show. We've been coming to you with this At Home thing since 1998. This is not new, folks.
Yeah. Okay, this is the Memorial Day edition.
Yes,
by the way, Josh, and we, in keeping with that, we want to honor some
Folks
that are close to the program, or at least maybe they never, I'm sure your dad did. I don't know if Diana's dad ever did, but these are folks that are close to the show in that they're parts of your family.
Yes.
And military connection. Of course, Memorial Day celebrates.
Look at that good looking fly boy right there.
I'm telling you.
Was he a stud?
What did he fly?
He didn't fly anything. He flew in the belly. He could probably have piloted the plane in an emergency, but he was in the belly. He was a loadmaster. So that's Leslie Warren Carnes, a.k.a. Red, for those of us in 37167. He was the gardener of the Carnes clan.
There you go.
And he grew betta boys. That was
Maybe some early girls. Well, you know, and Data Boys was the one that he was calling.
I don't know if I had. I got a couple. This is, and he did. He most definitely married up. I want to go back to this picture.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I mean, so okay. So there you go. There's the. Now we've got that side of the family.
Yes.
Covered. Now we're going to go.
Now that's a really good looking guy right there. Okay. That is Jack Ray Carey, and that is immediately after he got out of basic training. And
he's still looking happy.
Yes, he is.
Probably happy. They're not kicking his butt anymore.
Now, he had gotten over it by this picture.
This is the major.
Sir, yes, sir.
Darn it. Yes, it was sir, yes, sir. But that was Major Jack Ray Carey immediately after he got his scrambled eggs. So, I mean, that was But look at that. Look at that good-looking guy right there.
How old was he there? 18, 19, 20?
Maybe 19.
Maybe 19.
Yeah,
okay.
Again, I don't know exactly. He joined the service immediately after going out of Elm City High School.
And what year would that have been, Josh?
1950.
All right. So we went all through Korea, and
he was in for three, out for three, and then he retired in 1976 at White Sands Missile Range. So, or Daddy Red, as we called him, or Opa, actually. He was in immediately after World War II. He was in stationed in Germany, and that's where he met beautiful Hilda. So,
well, we are we're grateful for their contributions to the security of our nation, and of course this weekend and Monday specifically is in memory of those who have made the ultimate sacrifice by giving their lives to give us the freedoms that we enjoy today. Yep. So don't want to forget to mention that.
And we have a red, white, and blue-ish theme going on here in the studio this morning.
We've got that going on. And so if you're, this is the time between now and the 4th of July where the red, white, and blue themes, especially work.
This is proof positive to what the old George Carlin used to say, is that there are no blue. He used to say there's no blue food, but we have no blue flowers. These are purplish, David.
You know, those blue corn chips you can get. Those are pretty blue. Now, I don't know if they have coloring added to them or not.
Now, ask you, you remember.
I remember that, but I'm just trying to think of an exception.
Blue food. Okay.
That's the only one I can think of.
Okay.
Wait, what do you mean blue food?
You will have a homework to do.
Not sad food. Not food that is feeling.
If you have never seen the classic blue food skit that George Carlin did, you have a homework. You need to find that.
And as
YouTube.
We have learned on the At Home Show, you have to make sure and screen comedy bits before you go live with them on the air. We had a close call, a very close call once upon a time. I guess that's been, 5 or 6 years ago?
It's at least that long.
It was Little
Johnny Melcher, one of the Red Stallion himself.
He was wanting to do a little tribute to Jonathan Winters, who had passed away on that Friday evening prior, and he quickly kind of...
I gave him the idea to go find Maude Fricker.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you go find Maude Fricker, put the headphones on or your earbuds in if they're a little young, sensitive ears that are
the
around.
Jonathan Winters that we all know and remember is the one from television who was, insanely funny, quick-witted. But he also did a whole Las Vegas nightclub routine, which... was a little bit more adult.
Yes,
a little,
blue.
That was another definition of blue there. It was quite a lot of themes in it that you probably would not normally
would not play in 2020. No, that's absolutely true.
We quickly got that off the air before too much damage was done, and somehow we salvaged our...
Let's go up as we fly under the radar, as it were. All right.
Well, we're so far off the radar, we're not even on radio anymore. We're here, and we do invite you to check us out on Facebook. If you're watching us, you're either watching us on Facebook or on Twitter. The Bates Nursery Twitter feed also has a link there. We also have our own YouTube page now. You can just go out there and search The At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates. Or even if you just type The At Home Show, we still come up favorably. You can find us there. And we ask that you subscribe if you're watching us on Facebook.
Yes, please.
Share it out there to your friends. We'd love to get the word out.
Start a watch party. I mean, yeah, get everybody involved.
And we do know there's a lot of people who are not Facebook followers, that, but most everybody who has a computer is going to, I mean, what does YouTube not have? I mean, if you don't know how to...
YouTube's how I taught myself to do almost everything.
Yes.
We can tell.
Yeah.
Hey, that's why I'm better at it.
Everything's great on YouTube, and there's usually three or four different versions
of
something.
Well, yes,
there.
And that way you can kind of filter through what really works and what doesn't work. Sometimes it's a
trial and error, as it were.
There's a lot of information out there. Some of it's really good.
Yes, this is the current show. I shared the wrong link on my personal Facebook page. So, I'm sorry. Sorry. Things happen, okay? I didn't notice that I had the blue Stitch Fix shirt on this week as opposed to last week's shirt.
Which is the lighter blue.
Yes, which is a lighter blue.
Yeah.
So.
You know, we all got the blue memo somehow today. So, I mean, I guess that's good. You know, we could have done the red, white, and blue. We could have alternated, but...
That's too much show prep.
You've got the fancy shirt on today, though.
He's trying to, you know, he
is better to look good than it is to be good, ladies and gentlemen.
For the guy who never cared all the years we were on the air.
now we're on video.
All righty. Now, blue cheese is not really blue, is it? Okay.
It does have some blue fungus in there. So, yeah, it's got some.
Stinky cheese. It's good.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
I love blue cheese. Let's see. We see Myrtle's out there watching. And let's see. I see a little Crosland child out there watching. Good morning, Miss Caroline.
By the way, we want to give thanks to Nora McGarry, who's running the video portion of our program this morning. And
she knows about milk cows,
we're hoping to, by next week, have a software that we're installed and usable that will aggregate all of our comments.
We're going to put rocks in it?
No, and hopefully no one will throw rocks, but if they do, at least we'll be able to see them all in one spot. So we'll be able to look at all of the various streams that we are out there on and be able to comment to folks in a more timely fashion, but more importantly, be able to get whatever questions they may have. And, of course, you can call into this
Look at that number right
615-499-6690. And the great thing about that is that you'll call in and you'll just leave a message.
At this point.
Yeah, and we haven't got it set up where we're taking live calls, but if you'll call and leave a message and your question, we'll take a stab at answering it. So, you know, this way, you don't have to worry about us picking at you and maybe making you feel uncomfortable.
But it would be better if you were alive and we could pick back at each other, because that's
it makes it more fun. I mean, as much as you and I, Josh, love to, you know, take little launch arrows at each other from time to time, it's, you know,
slings and arrows.
Yeah, it's just more fun if it's somebody that, you know, that's not here
together.
They can't fight back.
Oh, my goodness. 615-499-6690.
We call that being a microphone warrior, you know, keyboard warrior.
It's easy to be tough, you know, when you're out there, have the whole internet to protect you out there.
Hit that hold button and let it go on.
There you go. Hey, this is, of course, we've had daily rains. Now, not everybody's getting rain every day, but somebody's getting
rain
every day.
Quit messing with your Michael Jackson outfit.
Oh, yeah, this is my protective cover. I guess I could show this.
No, it's okay. No, it's good. It's good.
These are my pins that are coming out of the back of my hand. This is really not.
Oh.
We'll just show that right there. That's the back of the hand. You know, I'll just let you know, I do have pins in there.
Can you pull them out?
I could. I'm not supposed to. The problem is getting them back in. So, anyway, I've only got another 3 weeks or so till I get those removed. I did crush my finger in a cantilevered gate, and it got rolled up into the big roller wheel, and it broke the bone, and the bone poked through a tendon, and they had to sew it back together.
You just wrecked your hand.
I did no favors in, and yesterday was my first physical therapy session.
You had push-ups on your finger?
I thought the injury was painful.
Uh-huh.
Physical therapy was excruciating. It's that level of pain where that sweat breaks out on your forehead and you get become extremely nauseous.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you're glad you're sitting down, but it's yeah, it was.
So your therapist is a good one. They're in the SS.
He's really good. He totally ignored all of the
whining.
I didn't. I don't think I whined, but boy, I was breathing extremely hard and with much force. And he was saying, "Good, good," encouraging me. And he also, but the thing he also told me before he did all this is that today will be an easy day.
Oh.
Which doesn't bode well for Tuesday afternoon, which is my next appointment. So I'm, I said, I'll just tell you right now, I'm not going to be bending my finger the way you bend it. I'm just not going to. You know, otherwise, why would I come here? If I could do all that on my own, I'm working at it. You know, I can bend it, but it's really painful.
You got pins in it. Why do you want to bend it?
Well, because it's not pinned from this knuckle out. I should be able to bend there. It's just that there's a lot of swelling.
And this tendon is great breakfast talk.
Well, hey, you did better. You did better than my little boy did after his surgery back in December. Mm-hmm. So when they were doing physical therapy with him, he had to relearn how to sit up and then relearn how to walk. But he's got an attitude. So once he got sat up and he didn't want to do it and the physical therapist made him do it anyway, he threw his cup at her. So,
I guess that's why they took my cup away from me. Yeah. They didn't want to take a chance on that happening. Okay, we're having, as I was, before I got sidetracked by myself,
squirrel,
talking about rainfall and the amount of it. It's, while it is not always convenient in the big picture for gardening, it's wonderful. We've had the most wonderful springtime as far as in duration. It just continues on, and normally we will have, you know, maybe March and some April, or we'll have maybe it'll rain severely all in April, and we'll have some spring in May, or this year it seems like we're getting it all the way through, and it's right on schedule with all the people who are taking up vegetable gardening. Hey.
Yes.
That guy right there.
Yes.
Michael's also got square foot gardens he has constructed and has put in.
He's got an above ground garden just like I do.
Right. We're not going over that again.
Okay. All right.
So, and the good news is that there's still plants available. I will tell you that you probably should be really, if you're thinking about doing it, it's time to take action, because from this point forward, the selection for vegetable plants starts getting to be decidedly less. So now there are some things that are only just now becoming available, things such as okra that are very much a warm season plant, and consequently when those come in, they go right out, so you may have to keep checking back on things like okra.
My garden is really, really struggling, I think. Yeah. I mean, I water it every day. Oh. We got earth mix in there.
Okay.
It's...
Does he know about this tool, Mike?
I know about putting your finger down to measure the moisture in the dirt.
Okay.
So the broccoli and the lettuce seems to be doing okay.
Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. The cucumbers have some kind of mildewy film on it.
Ooh.
And
it's called powdery mildew.
Which I got something for that. It's not worked yet. I got some kind of, oh my gosh. It's like an earth safe by some, it's a spray.
Oh. It's probably a sulfur spray.
Yeah.
What is usually used for, and it's the, as far as an organic type of fungicide, it works well for that. Now, the difficulty, that's the difficulty, is that finding your time to apply it and having weather conditions which are actually conducive to getting rid of fungus. When it rains almost every day, and we're not, again, you know, remember the forecast predicted that there's not a lot of rain every day, but there's definitely rain every day. Enough to cause a problem where higher humidity conditions exist. The moisture is really not burning off. So these are perfect conditions for the propagation of fungal
stuff.
Yes.
Fungal funguses.
Well, they got the mildew on it. But if you lift up the cucumber plants underneath, they're starting to flower big. They look fine underneath.
Great.
But the tomato plants look a little bit wilty and stuff. But
they might have a little bit of a wet foot, don't you think? Yeah.
Well, it's possible. I don't know. I don't remember exactly what your time. You've had tomatoes at, what, a couple of weeks?
Almost 4 weeks.
Almost 4 weeks. Now, what you've also had in the meantime And what we've all had, we've had some cold spells in between. I don't know what manner of protection you gave those.
I covered them actually with a quilt. Is what I did.
You may have crushed them. I don't know.
Well, no. Well, it wasn't that heavy of a quilt. We had it like up on like tomato steaks.
Okay. All right. So you did give them a fortress of protection. So that's good. Tomatoes have some issues. And I mentioned earlier, Honora McGarry and her writing an article that's out on the earthmix.net.
You mentioned it to us, but you didn't.
I'll mention it again. Honora wrote a great article about calcium deficiency, and one of the things that's specifically referenced in there is the effects on tomatoes. Now, I can't say based on what you're telling me that it's a clear-cut sign of calcium deficiency, or it's likely not, but it may just be that how many hours of sun does this get?
It gets full sun all day until about 4 o'clock.
And when you say wilty, what do you, I mean, are they hanging straight down, or are the limbs just kind of arching downward as they're getting larger?
They get like a yellowish tinge to them, and they're just kind of, it's not the actual stem of the leaf, it's where the actual leaf is.
Right.
Kind of going down a little bit.
Yeah, it could be that because of all the rain that they're staying a little bit wet.
Okay.
And that's more likely than anything else is that, you know,
Earthmix holds its it holds its moisture very well.
In it, you know, so it is a topsoil blend. So Earthmix Garden is what you used in there. And when you're having unusually wet conditions, it may keep it slightly wetter than what you would prefer it to be. You would like for it to dry a little bit more than that. You know, we know that as conditions move through the month and into June,
next week.
Next week, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's not actually next week. It's the week after, because the end of the month is on Sunday.
Yeah, the 31st.
So a week from tomorrow is the end of the month, and then June 1st is on a Monday. So,
so what is a good calcium additive to the soil if should we decide that we need some?
Well, soluble calcium is a good source. Now, most the soils, all the earthmix soils have a lot of calcium already incorporated into them. Mm-hmm. Some of it comes through the use of soluble calcium that's actually incorporated in at one step or another. A lot of it comes from the use of chicken litter, which is just, you know, when the poultry pens are cleaned up, the stuff that hits the ground is referred to as chicken litter, and it's
in other words, caca.
Yeah, it's a lot of that and the bedding that they are running around, which they don't bed in that, but that's what they call it. That's all cleaned up and composted. It's got feathers in there, and this just in, some chickens don't make it, so occasionally those are...
Sometimes
the little chicks are breaking down in there. There's some bones here and there, but that all gets screened out. But what it leaves you is a very high nitrogen organic input that also is quite high in calcium. And so it has a couple of really excellent benefits. Now, it's the downside to chicken litter is that it is a very alkaline product. So we have to introduce elemental sulfur into the mix in order to offset the unusually high pH. It's usually somewhere about 8.5, which is pretty alkaline, so we try to get that back down and add enough sulfur in there to get it back down to around 7. So that, but, and what that does is that makes that calcium available to the plants that are trying to take it up.
615-499-6690. Now, I've heard some of the old wives say that they saved their old...
Do you refer to them as old wives to their face, Josh?
Yeah, obviously not. He's here, ain't he?
We're supposed to save our eggshells.
Why?
Okay, and crunch it. Now, what would you just take the half of an eggshell and throw it out on top?
You could. It's going to break down, but it would be better if you kind of, you know, crumple
them. Run them through the
coffee grinder. You could do that, or just crunch them up, and you know they will break down.
Okay,
but it's kind of a
because you don't want to get your blossom end rot.
It's right, and that's the biggest thing with tomatoes is that a lot of people have issues with. Is blossom end rot, and what that looks like on the fruit is that the blossom end, that's the one that's away from the stem, that end will start getting black, or it'll begin rotting.
Don't want the end of your blossom
and
rotting.
And that is a major problem, and not only for tomatoes, but for other things as well. So sometimes you may need to add additional calcium to help offset that. And one of the things that excessive rain does is that, you know, it also leaches nutrient value in the soil. Oh, so okay. That sometimes makes the addition of other things more necessary.
How often should one be watering a garden? So my garden has got lettuce, it's got broccoli, mm-hmm. it's got tomato plants, onions, and cucumbers.
Mm. Well, yeah. Well, whatever the rate that one would water it at, two watered it at half that rate.
So half as much as I'm watering it?
No, what I'm saying, I'm just making fun of the way you worded it. The point of it is watering is a task best left to a single person.
Yes.
You know, as my dad would say, a job left to everybody, nobody does. So it's, unless you delegate it off, it's a, hey,
designated an aqua person.
Well, that's me.
Okay. Yeah.
So you want to get out there, and as with most things you're going to water, you want to wait till it appears to be getting dry, and that test comes by putting your finger down on the soil. Put it down on the soil near where the plant is. Don't go out to the edge, because mm-hmm. it dries on the edges faster than it does up in the middle of the bed. So put it down near where that is, and you can feel quickly whether it's still moist or not. And if it still has a fair amount of moisture, let it go another day. Now, as we get deeper into the season, the temperatures are going to get higher, and the plants will have matured and grown a lot more. They're going to be taking a lot more moisture out of the soil. So that the intervals between watering are going to decrease. But the way you're going to water, when you water, really won't change much, because you try to really soak the soil thoroughly. You know, a lot of people say, well, I gave them a little drink. Don't give them a little drink. Soak it thoroughly, and then allow it to dry out. That's the way nature prefers it.
And Alita and Darren, blueberries are not blue. They only named blue. Think about it. I mean, they're not truly blue.
Well,
purple. Are you crazy?
No.
My blueberries are blue.
Are they? Not really
blue. I would call it like almost a cobalt blue.
Oh, okay. Not blue. You're dissing George, man.
I'm not dissing. I'm just, if anybody's being dissed, it's you.
Oh, okay. Well, I can take it. I'm a big boy. All righty, 615-499-6690. Join us, folks.
We've got, like, I think, three phone calls coming.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Have you
screened them?
Well, that's what I'm attempting to do right now.
We actually don't have to. But we want things to be family oriented on here. I mean,
somebody's family anyway.
And you know, you may have the, I mean, obviously you've got the kids huddled up around the laptop.
Well, this looks like this is a kid. Okay.
Very good.
We're going to see how well this young child has been raised.
All right.
Ding, 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 ding. So in the meantime,
that's okay.
He's queuing it up.
It probably helps if I unmute my computer.
Oh, there you go.
Well, so, I was about to say.
It's a small technical thing.
Hold on. Here we go.
Hi, my name's Caitlin, and I was wondering, how do you plant flowers for the first time?
Caitlin?
How do you plant flowers?
Flowers for the first time.
Pretty much the same as you do in times that follow.
Well,
Caitlin. The thing you got to do. The thing you've got to do is
get some flowers first.
My grandmother used to say, if you're gonna plant a $2 plant, you should dig a $10 hole. Now, most of your flowers are not, maybe just much less than it. But the point she was trying to make is that you want to have really good soil to grow them in. So you want to make sure that you're doing that first. If you're planting them in a pot, which I'm guessing you've got some containers that you're going to plant those into, get a good
soil
growing
mix.
Medium, maybe Proganics O by Earth Mix is a good choice for that. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps you already have some of some other kind of soil, but put that in there and plant the plants in there. And then, most importantly, right after you finish planting, is to water it thoroughly. You want to soak it. You want to see water coming out of the
bottom.
It'll
drip all over Mom's counter. I mean,
yeah, well,
down onto the
probably
floor.
Probably take it outside before you do that. So water it thoroughly, and then all you're going to need to be mindful of is if you're using a
Sunshine.
If you're using it, you gotta have sunshine. Mm-hmm. If it's a sun loving plant. Now some things such as impatiens really are more shade lovers, but most of the things that flower are sun lovers. So you gotta have sunshine, and you gotta remember that it's dependent upon you to keep
it's a
watering
living
well.
Thing. So you have to right. take care.
Now,
of
Now the weather lately has done a good job of not letting things dry out too fast. That can be good, as is if you're just planting something, but you must remember that first watering is so important because you want those, you want that all the air pockets that are in that soil to get settled out. So when you water it, all that comes out. You'll see it bubbling up on the top of the soil. So
and have fun when you're doing it.
Yes, just
dig around, get to mm-hmm. find the juicy and, worms,
and don't be despondent or don't be.
You're going to lose a couple.
Yeah, they're not all going to do really well. Yeah. So you just keep trying, and maybe you need to try something different. So there's a lot of different things. Gardening.
Get Dad up off the couch. Make him go with you. Maybe make him do the digging. Okay, the digging part. If you've got a bed out there out front, you know, you might need a little bit of oomph on it to get it going.
Well, it might need to be tilled. You
uh-huh.
know? That's when, you know, Dad's probably got a tiller out there in the garage somewhere.
Everybody's got a tiller out there.
And break that soil up, and then you might want to amend the soil and doing some things to add nutrients.
First, fourth, second. And then the tenth. You know, that'd be the...
I was thinking of more nutritional amendments. Maybe add compost to it, like supernatural compost.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Eggshells.
Eggshells are another input.
Coffee grounds, yeah.
You know, eggshells themselves are not compost. You might put those in compost, but it takes quite a long time for that calcium source to break down. So yes. Those might help you next year.
What about earthworm castings? What do those do?
Well, earthworm castings is what is considered to be the gold standard of soil amendments. And it's no secret that the earthworms got here a long time before any of us did.
Yes.
I'm talking about humans or other animals. And they've been working this soil for eons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding that it takes about 2,000 earthworms to create 7 pounds of earthworm castings within a month. So it takes.
Are they in a union or something?
They work closely together. I'll put it that way.
All righty, we have any other callers?
Oh yeah, we've got some more callers. I don't know who this person is.
Okay,
but we'll see.
Good morning, gentlemen, and you too, David. quick question about maters. I've been told. I've heard this, that if you catch like a little small brim fish and bury them beside where your tomatoes are planted, maybe, 8 or 10 inches away, that's a good amendment or I don't know, amendment's the right word. But
Native Americans used to do that
fertilizer
with maize.
For that. Is that correct?
It'll bring every raccoon from around the county.
Well, and that's exactly what I was going to say is that, you know, that might have been good back in the day when
we didn't have natural fertilizer sources.
You have a big field growing. They're not going to like to dig them all up. But if you've Renee has set up at our house, my wife Renee, she set up one of the little nature cams to take pictures of all the
creatures.
She got over a period of a few weeks like 1,500 pictures, of which about 300 are actual images of all the different things that visits this one little spot, this little hole in the fence. I'm talking raccoons, possums, armadillos, all manner of different birds.
Out there in the historic district?
A number of different cats.
Oh.
It was really quite entertaining to get to watch all of that. And she saw two new birds, and you know, Renee is an avid birder. She saw two new birds that she's never, one of them she has yet to identify.
Really?
So, and I don't remember the name of the one that has stripes coming down its chest and on the top of its head, but.
Woody Woodpecker?
It was not a woodpecker. I'm pretty sure it was something else. She did see a roadrunner. We were in Mexico.
Oh, in Mexico. I was here.
Was she terribly disappointed? My mother was terribly disappointed
Renee
when she saw
Renee
her first roadrunner.
Renee's never disappointed at any new bird.
Well, they don't
sighting.
Go meet, meet.
Well, I was about to say, did your mom expect them to be the size of an ostrich?
Well, you've never seen a roadrunner from when you're from Baltimore, Maryland. They don't run around up and down Interstate
you don't
40
see
and
them
Pulaski
here
Highway.
Huh? They'll see them here either. But in Mexico, yes.
You
Mexico.
Do see armadillos here.
Yes, you do.
Yes, and we caught one on image, and hopefully he's just passing through. You know, but the whole point of putting this camera up was trying to discern what was digging this hole, uh-huh. and it's probably the armadillo.
Yes.
But we only got really, I would have thought there would have been a lot more images of the armadillo. There was only like a couple of images.
He went into stealth mode once he figured out that the camera was there. All right, another caller, Mike?
Yeah, this is Ann from Franklin.
Okay.
Hi, this is Ann from Franklin.
As I said.
I was up at your place a couple of days ago.
Thank you.
And I bought some mini succulents, and I wanted to know about putting those outside. Do I need to acclimate them? How do I make that transition if they may have been for out inside?
Well, I wonder if she's going to
anything
altitude because if she's...
It would be great. Thanks.
Now, I'm wondering, the altitude in Franklin shouldn't be a problem, so we don't have to go to base camp first and then camp two.
No, there's no acclimation with respect to altitude.
Oh,
now,
okay.
What she's perhaps concerned about is lighting conditions. And the succulents, while they may have been grown and likely have been grown in an indoor environment, that's mostly to control the amount of water they get. They would have been grown under as clear of a film or glass that they could be because they're all very highlight plants. Consequently, they shouldn't require very much adjustment to full sunlight. However, if you have concerns, get them in a spot where they get morning sun for several days first, where they get that in the morning and then they're shaded in the afternoon. And then you can move them on around where you lengthen the day by an hour or two over the course of a couple of weeks, they should be fine. It probably is okay to go straight out in the sun with them right now. But if you want to be extra careful, you could do that.
And get them out of that little baby pot.
Well, but be careful about...
too big?
Yes, because they don't like wet feet. Their succulents really like to get dry in between watering. So they really are the kinds of plants that tend to thrive on neglect.
All righty. We see the folks that are watching on Facebook. Thank you for joining us. Please hit the share button. Share it out there because we're trying to get this get the show out there for everybody to see all over the planet. Everything's ready to roll.
Since we have just a moment, I got to take this time to go ahead and tell my wife on the air happy anniversary. It's not until next Friday, but if I wait till next Saturday, I'll be late. My dad always told me, if you're on time, you're late. The only time you're on time is when you're early.
What are you going to get her for her anniversary?
She's watching, man.
Huh?
She's watching. I can't say anything.
Well, me and you go shopping.
No.
Okay. You sure?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
We were going to go see Jimmy Buffett. Mm-hmm.
But nobody else is going to see him.
No one else is going to go see him either. So
I might be able to get Jim Mayer to come do a little private.
Here we go.
My buddy Jim, who's the bass player for Jimmy Buffett.
We would very much enjoy that. But and since you brought that up, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, 34 years ago,
yeah.
I married my bride.
Do you know what's great? So ours is the 29th. You got married almost 30 years to the day before we did.
Almost, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And how she puts up with me, I don't know.
Well,
she's an absolute saint. She must be.
If somehow Renee and I are fortunate enough to make it until...
You got about a week, don't you?
No. We're July the 9th.
Oh, okay.
So we'll be coming up on 35 years. So we got just a little head start on you, not much.
That's okay. That's okay. But thank you, dear. And we're going out to eat supper tonight. So
well, good. Well, that should be a real treat. I mean, going out to eat right now...
Is a treat
just going out to eat anywhere.
Rutherford County's open, folks, so right. That's okay.
Now, will you take special preparations when you go out to eat? Are you going to?
Yeah, I'm going to take a shower when I get home.
Oh, okay. Well, but there's no, you don't have social distancing concern?
With her?
Not with her.
Well, after 34 years,
you two can be close together. It's with everybody else. I mean, are you going to?
We'll follow the rules of the establishment and see what happens. You know, so we'll bring the mask if we need to.
It's hard to
eat a steak when you're with a mask on, though.
Well, yeah, you have to pull it down between bites and put it back up. I don't think it works that way, does it?
No.
Or the shield, just, you have to remember to lift the
just
shield.
Just cut a hole in the mask.
No.
Be okay.
No. I wouldn't cut a hole in Miss Sally's mask. But no, we will follow the guidelines as best we can. But it's only a table for two, so they can put us over there anywhere except by the bathroom, and we'll be okay.
I assume it's the same just about everywhere. I was in a restaurant earlier this week, and the way they did it, so you'd have a booth with people in it, mm-hmm. and then they'd skip two booths, then there'd be a people in it, and then they're kind of skipping. Like, I think it's like 30% or 40% capacity.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough on restaurants, and it's been well documented, the amount of difficulty that a lot of them will have making ends meet on a...
Yeah, margins are low.
That's very tough. Hey, let me talk just a moment.
Okay.
Talk about my company, this place where we are, Bates Nursery and Garden Center. And I'll remind you that we're open throughout the Memorial Day weekend. However, we have special hours on Monday. We're open from 9 a.m. until noon on Monday, Memorial Day. So just remember that, 9 a.m. until noon. So if you're getting ready to come out on Memorial Day to shop, you got to get it done early. We do close at noon on Memorial Day. So be mindful of that, because everybody here working at Bates, they want to have some time away as well. So
they deserve it.
It's been a very challenging spring. We've been appreciative of all the outpouring and overwhelming support we have received. But everybody's ready for just a little break. So come on out and see us. We're open, of course, today from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. Sunday, noon until 4. And again, as I said earlier, 9 a.m. until noon on Memorial Day. And then we will resume 9 to 4 p.m. hours beginning on Tuesday.
You really need to come out here and see this place, folks.
And we got all manner of things. Things that you're not going to likely find anywhere else, simply because that we really strive to have this selection of plant material and expertise to go with it that you may not find anywhere else. Our professionals have probably combined easily over a couple of hundred years of horticultural experience. So come on out and see us at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. Bring your questions, take pictures of your area that you're working on. We'll be glad to look at your particular landscape situation and help you to get the right plants in the right place the first time, because that's the way we do it at Bates Nursery. And remind you, while our hours physically in the store may be limited, we are open online 24/7, 365 over at batesnursery.com.
366 this year.
But that day's already gone now, so I'm not going to.
It doesn't even actually count.
Well, it counts, but it just doesn't fit for three-fourths of the year. So we're just going to say 365.
Okay, all right.
So come check it out at batesnursery.com, where our entire inventory is searchable and purchasable online. You can even arrange for delivery to your door. So if you don't want to get out and you're a little concerned about that, you can have delivery set up to come to your house, or you can pick it up curbside. Either way, it works for you. We're here to help you any way we can at Bates Nursery and Garden Center, 1 mile north of Briley Parkway at exit 19 on White's Creek Pike, just minutes from Rivergate Opry Mills, Nashville West. And we truly believe it's worth the drive from anywhere. Check out our website, batesnursery.com. Pick up the phone and give us a call, 615-876-1014, Bates Nursery and Garden Center, where we have been beautifying Nashville since 1932.
So all right,
our 88th year.
We see Margaret out there is watching. We see Hot Rods out there watching. Corey, the yard boy, is watching. And he is, I think he didn't want to call it Aquaman, I think was what I was going for when I was talking about the person that waters.
Oh, okay.
He said the hydroponic technician. But that's actually a different thing. Hydroponics doesn't take any dirt. So, I mean,
why would you not just say hydration consultant?
Or hydration specialist.
And I'm wondering what question Darren wants us to answer.
He was saying, like, blueberries a lot. I think maybe it has something to do with blueberries.
Was he just mumbling?
Probably. Can you mumble on Facebook?
I don't know about that. But blueberries, for what it's worth, you know, blueberries are the one edible landscape plant that I think everyone should have. They're easy to grow.
Yep.
So long as you've got sunshine and they're they just require very little effort. There is one thing you need to remember. There are most blueberries need a pollinator, so you will need one of two different varieties that flower at the same time in order to get berries. Or there are newer types now that are self-pollinating that you could, so that way you can only buy one if you like. But if you're like me and you really like blueberries, one's not going to get it done. You're going to have several of them. And the best place to use those in is maybe you've got a hedge of something growing that it's just, okay, you're over it. Yep. Maybe it's a privet hedge.
Which there's a lot is being very showy this year, so you can identify it very quickly this year.
But the bad thing about privet hedge is it is quite invasive. It is a ligustrum. So it is a very prolific seed producer, and the birds eat those, and they fly, and they deposit them everywhere. So be well to be getting rid of privet hedge anyway. Blueberry is a really excellent alternate plant for hedging, and you get fruit on it. It's a beautiful plant.
No, we've got one, and I still don't know if we got the self-pollinating or if we needed to. I mean, it either got pollinated here or we've got a self-pollinating
next
one.
Year.
Yeah, we'll know next year.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, we
better safe to get another one.
Yeah, we always pre-pollinate every blueberry.
I appreciate that. It's you go around.
So that's what a Nora does when she's not running the camera.
She's got a little Q-tip out there pollinating the little blueberries. I'm pretty sure that what you got was a self-pollinating type.
It didn't have flowers on it when I got it.
Well, it had fruit already, right?
I don't think so.
Oh. Well,
it was just a little bitty baby.
Well, if it didn't have flowers on it when you got it, then that answers the question. It is a self-pollinating.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, so there you go.
And just for, can we talk about the Yard Boys profile picture?
Sure.
On Facebook. Have you seen that?
Which one?
The crazy-looking one where he looks like... oh my gosh, who's that former governor of Minnesota, the WWE guy? Jesse the Body Ventura. That's what it reminds me of.
Yard Boy looks like Jesse the Body?
No, his profile picture does.
Okay. Now this current
Yard one? Boy looks like Larry the Cable Guy. He does.
Well, there's, and I'm sure that he's pretty happy about being associated with both of those.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Larry the Cable Guy is great.
Sure he is.
Funny dude.
Are you calling the Yard Boy out? I mean, no. You know he's from Petersburg, and he is known to be a thug upon occasion.
I know Petersburg's like 2 hours from here, so I sure as heck ain't worried about
you
it.
You don't know where the Yard Boy may reach out and touch someone from.
Yeah, but if he did, he would do it with a slab of bacon. And it would be,
tasty.
Yes, it would be.
Punishment is what I call that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I did. If you don't follow the Yard Boy on Facebook, you should. I mean, I think he's probably, and he's still got some room in that 5,000 limit where you could go out there and be a friend.
Did he ever make that announcement?
And he has not made that announcement yet, but I did see a sign. Of course, the Yard of the Month sign is, they're going to have to build bricks around it down there in Petersburg. Because, I mean, it's like a permanent fixture in his yard.
Well, I mean, I think he says it's been like somewhere above 2,000 consecutive months.
There's some room. There are rumors.
Ridiculous number.
He has not made that.
Have heard allegations of that there's like a fix in the works that somehow that it's he's not really being judged.
Really?
That it's just. I've heard a rumor that this is an award he's given himself.
Now you are calling him out.
Now that's slander. No, I know, but and I don't mean it's not me. But I've heard that this is actually a sign that he had made himself. Now I know that can't be true because he's too good for that.
No, he wouldn't do that.
No, he wouldn't stoop to that. He might bend over at the waist, but he wouldn't stoop.
615-499-6690.
We do have another phone call.
Okay, all right,
let's do that.
It's not from Yard Boy
yet.
Yes. Can you tell me where is the best place to plant a clematis? I know that it needs full sun, or at least I think it does. Thank you.
It's a really good question because it's easy to plant one in the wrong spot. Now, what clematis or clematis, however you prefer to pronounce it, I think both are recognized as being correct, is that they like a sunny location, but they like cool feet. They want to be planted where that the ground is shaded by something else. So if you can plant them in behind some other low-growing shrubbery, allow them to grow up a wall behind it on a trellis.
With the trellis, they're gorgeous.
And that's really a great application to put one. But if they're exposed to where the soil gets really hot direct from the sun, they'll never do very well. So they want the tops to get plenty of sun, but they want the roots to stay shaded. So find that location on the either the east or south or west side of your house. Preferably on the east or south side. The west, if it's all afternoon sun, that can be pretty brutal. But it does need that sunshine, and it does need cool soil, as cool as possible. So,
and the trellis is really a real key for those to really be showy.
Well,
I think
it does, because if you otherwise they're it's either that or you've got to install some anchors or masonry screws or something into the side of the house to be able to attach it with some wire ties. Maybe attach a piece of like poultry wire, something like that, that it can grow and climb up. So it will need some kind of structure to be able to grow on, to be able to have the chance to get up there and get enough light to give you the lot of flowers.
Now,
that
what kind
for.
Of poultry would you be using? Would that be chicken wire or duck wire or robin wire?
That, I don't know that I have seen anything more than about two grades of poultry netting. And actually, the smaller one is usually referred to as rabbit wire.
Rabbit wire?
It's a small little hexagonal.
Why would a rabbit need wire smaller than a chicken?
Because their little feet will fall through the holes when you build a call them hutches, I believe is what they call.
Then you have a nice brace of conies.
No. They have these little pellets that come out of one end of them that
you want
these,
those to be able to pass.
Oh through. Yeah, you do want that. Yeah.
They're passed already, so right. They want to keep passing. Pass it on.
You don't just barely want to slow them down. You want them to go all the way to the ground.
Okay. Because that people are using those as fertilizer in some of their behavior.
There really are no waste products. Anything that's organic, there's no such thing as a waste product.
Go get
anymore.
Your rabbit pellets today. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Get them out there, dry them,
Dry them?
You could dry, that way that they're, dehydrated. They're probably a little less smelly. You could grind them up if you wanted to and broadcast them. I don't know what you want to do.
I was going to say, almost sounds like you're trying to make sausage. Or jerky.
No, I don't think anybody would.
Different part
it.
Of the rabbit if you're going to make jerky out of it, for sure.
Yeah, have you ever had rabbit jerky? I don't think.
It's tough enough as it is.
Rabbit's wonderful, sir. Oh, 615-499-6690.
Hey, guys, if you'll permit me for just a moment, I want to talk for just a second about. Okay.
Go ahead and get that picture of my dad.
I've already got your dad up there. So I've clicked the wrong one. Want to talk for just a moment about. Earth, and I keep doing the same one.
See, it's fate, David Bates.
It is fate.
Jack liked Earth Mix. He certainly did. He actually used some of the original Earth Mix.
Is that right?
He absolutely did.
Now that I clicked on the correct tab,
there you go.
Success in gardening does begin at the ground level. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to have success, sometimes you can accidentally just get lucky and things work out well.
Uh-huh.
But if you want to have consistent success, you've got to think about the entire process, and that process begins when you're planting, and you only have one chance to get that right, and that's at the outset of the planting process. So that's where Earth Mix Garden Products come in, and we work hard to produce an entirely sustainably produced organic soil line that is not just those two things, but also extremely viable and productive. Go to a lot of links to add things. We talked about calcium earlier in the program, adding some soluble calcium into the soil. Also, it's a blend of a variety of different types of organic materials, where we also introduce things such as a mycorrhiza fungi, both endo and ecto. Not a lot of ecto, but mostly endo mycorrhiza.
Don't get slimed when you do it
either. And humic acid. And through the composting process that we do, we really produce a superior line of products that are done so right here in Nashville, Tennessee. So wherever Earth Mix products are sold, they are conveniently located all over Middle Tennessee. And all you have to do is go to earthmix.net, Earthmix, earthmix.net, and click on this Find Earth Mix tab. And once you're there, it will bring you up a map And you'll see this map right here, and it shows all these little
Indiana,
pins.
Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee.
Yes, all over. You can zoom in to a location near you, or you can simply put in your address for turn-by-turn directions by clicking on this enter a location box right here, and it will take you to the location nearest you. Now, remember this. Success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use EarthMix garden products. So keep that in mind.
You ready for another phone call?
Sure.
Oh, quickly, sir.
Oh, yeah, we're almost out of time.
Goes by quickly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, this is Martha Ann, and good to see you all. Looking good there with all those beautiful flowers around you. But you mentioned rabbits, and I think rabbits, people don't know it, but they are really interesting creatures. They are corporophagous.
Oh,
yes.
That's how that word on David.
Yeah, I know what corporophagic means.
Don't need to go anywhere the first time. Okay. Talk to you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
A lot of dogs are also corporophagic. And there is a product. Let me explain it this way.
Okay.
There is a product called Milorganite.
Uh-huh. Hey, I know
Milorganite,
that.
Milorganite, as we like to say, comes from the bowels of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Literally. That's where that product comes from. It is a...
refined.
It's a refined... Human compost. Uh-huh. And anything, one little is considered to be organic. I'm not one that would put that on my garden, but you know, it has had the heavy metals removed from it.
Oh, that's another knock against it, as far as I'm concerned.
But there are dogs who will eat it.
Oh.
Because they find it delectable, I guess. And that is the corporophagic phenomenon. So. Rabbits will indeed, I guess, I don't know if they're picky, if they just eat other people's, I have no idea about that, but other rabbits.
Probably not after Taco Tuesday, would be my guess.
No.
So, all righty, folks. What is your project this weekend? Because you're going to have to get ready.
And thank you, Martha Ann, for bringing that light and lively subject to our program.
Absolutely.
You can always count on.
What is your project for the weekend? I know you're working all weekend long.
I am. You know, there's always a project. I never get more than 10 steps away from a project.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of 10 steps away from a project, I had an assignment. I was given an assignment this weekend.
You were?
Yes.
And now that I have clicked off and on so many times.
It was in the big screen file.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, and I, unfortunately, inadvertently.
There it goes, the big screen file.
And we're going to. Zoom that out here. So,
do you see how projects get assigned at the proving ground?
So you've got, I see an X there.
You're replacing those boards, aren't you?
Yes. I see one there. So that's what that means. Your X marks the spot. That means,
that's the beginning spot.
Did you designate these X's, or was that done by someone?
Did I designate those?
Yes.
I advised, but they were the final choices were made by a certain other. Anniversary celebration.
Now, I do see a little that one, nasty little corner right there.
The photo doesn't show it, but it's up there at the front there.
That one looks like it's got a corner that needs some work right there, Josh.
Now, if you'll look in the back and with the product placement there, that is a delivery that was made.
They were talking about outside the railing here.
Outside the railing.
So you've got your boards. So those are 5/4 by 12s, I'm guessing.
Those are 12 footers, yes.
And, of course,
6 inches wide.
All of 5/4 lumber is all pressure treated, correct?
I mean, no.
There is a 5/4 that's not treated?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I didn't know.
You don't use it, but I mean, again, cedar boards are not treated.
So those are available in a 5/4.
5/4 is just a unit of measure.
Oh, I understand.
Okay.
That,
okay.
Yeah.
But
you see them commonly for decking.
Decking, yes.
But that decking is not limited
great
to outdoors.
Fence as well. But, it was delivered there by Crossland Building Supply, close to the project. So, but yes, we'll be taking them up and redoing them.
Now,
the point is, notice the color of the raw product versus the new product.
That's not going to match right away, is it?
No, that's not.
So are you going to take measures to, because
I'm voting for the variegated deck is what I'm voting for.
Well, I don't say it's not obvious, but I hear a lot, and I have seen it to be true, that these new boards, they need some time to weather.
A little seasoning.
Just before they'll even grab the tint or the stain or the paint or whatever you're going to put on them.
Well, correct? Not as much as it used to be, but again, the products, it dries a little quicker, and they dry out a little better. But you notice where the product, you know, where the X's are, where the primary damage seems to be. That's photo degradation.
Near the pool.
Near the splash zone.
Yep.
Okay. I wonder why that is.
I wonder why. Okay.
Are you a sloppy swimmer?
I don't. No, I usually sit back. My chair is back here behind the pole.
Oh, you can, it's off camera.
I thought you were getting rid of that thing.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Well, I thought, well, what was that thing you had in the back of your truck? I thought that was
the hot tub.
But I thought you said the pool was going too, because you guys use it like twice a year.
I was wishing that the pool. No, I use it twice a year.
Twice a decade.
Maybe.
That's assuming he's on fire one of those times.
Or happen to get knocked into it. That's happened occasionally, too. But notice, that will be an ongoing issue. We will show progress through the next coming weeks of the at-home program. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time for this edition of the at-home
show. We are
show.
Indeed out of time. And
we appreciate you being here. Okay, we want you to share the Facebook feed. Go out to YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. It's free. Okay, if you're out on Twitter, you can just keep an eye out for us there. Once in one of these days, maybe we'll get approved and we will be in on the LinkedIn side of
things. They've indicated that it was going to take them several weeks to get
that's
back.
That's okay. So we're working on
going to keep doing it anyway.
But that way we'll be able to link with some professional people, and there's lots of sites that we may be able to bring up and show some things that are going on there as well. So, folks.
And we also hope to be able to incorporate some remote visitors to the program, so we can put those on the screen up here via Zoom or other methods. So we're
hopefully
we'll
be able
to
get them in studio here before too long.
And we also hope to be able to do some tours about the nursery here. We've got a lot of things to look at, and perhaps you don't have a convenient time to get out. We can give you some tours about some specific things. So we're welcome to have you here and join us at the At Home Show. And we are been doing it now for 22 years.
Yes,
Josh.
Yes.
So,
and this as At Home, the At Home Show. It's not. This is not a new concept. Hashtag At Home, At Home, Stay Home, everything. We've been the At Home Show since 1998. So next Saturday morning, we're going to bring it back to you. Okay.
All right.
And thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.
See you then.